So as probably most of you or all, maybe all of you know, we went to the leadership and some others went to LifeLink's conference this week at Church of the Rock. It was a fantastic time. And one of these Sundays, we're going to share a little bit about some of the things we heard and learned there. So if you were at the conference, I'm giving you a warning right now. I will ask you to, or give you an opportunity to share in a few Sundays. The theme of the conference was multiplying disciples, multiplying churches, multiplying leaders, in whatever order you want to put that. It was a fantastic time. Had a guest speaker, a couple there from Austria, missionaries, I would say, church planters in Austria. Fantastic material, all the sessions we had there. So what that does, it brings people into Manitoba from all over the world, and one of the couples that was there, and I'm very happy that they're with us this morning, is Ian and Val Bird. They lead the LifeLinks network, just dear friends, dear people that we've gotten to know, and they've spoken so much into our lives as leadership team already and into this church, and I think the future is bright with them in the leadership role that they have there. So with that, I'm going to invite Ian up to speak to us this morning. So welcome Pastor Ian as he comes up.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow, it's so good to be here. You know, on Val's Facebook feed, a memory came up, I don't know, a couple days ago, and it was 4 years ago when we were here. And I was talking to Pastor A this morning. I was like, it doesn't feel like 4 years, but it is. I mean, there was a small event in the middle of that called a pandemic that kind of messed everything up. But you'll notice I look a lot different. COVID pandemic was hard on me. I'm totally gray-haired now after the 2 years. Actually, full disclosure, I had been dyeing my hair prior to COVID. And then, like many people during COVID, and my, you know, I decided to let it go and be me. And so, my youngest son is a barber. So he was cutting my hair, and he kept telling me as time went on, he goes, "Dad, it's looking bad now. It's looking fake. You're too gray. It looks. Even my manager says it looks bad." Well, when he said his manager, I'm like, "Oh, now I'm really embarrassed." So anyway, there you are. I'm now the silver fox. So. Looking seasoned, ready for the next season. You know, I really enjoyed the youth, the worship, and just like my wife, just really had such a sense, could have said the same things, that God has a greater youth harvest for you. I just really felt like the Lord said, as long as this church is open, as long as they remain open, I'm going to bring in many because I trust them. Also saw a picture, I was talking to your leadership team last night, of this church like a big flame above it. And then all these areas around your church, towns, villages, whatever, and there was like little flames. It was like God was going to use this church to spread the fire of the Holy Spirit all through your region. And I really, you know, every time we come here, we feel that and probably feel it more. And sense the seeds of that today as we were here. So just want to really commend you with that. Commend your leaders. You've got an awesome leadership team. And we are just excited to be here. Well, let me just ask you a question. So how many of you love moving? How many of you have moved in your lifetime? And you, yeah. Okay, put your hands down again because I'm going to ask you the second question. How many of you love packing up all your stuff, putting it in a vehicle, taking it to the new place, unpacking all your stuff, figuring it out? How many people love that? Well, a few of you do. Oh, okay. There are a few people that love that. But I sense that the vast majority are like, yeah, we'll go through it, but we don't really enjoy it, right? It's myself, I moved a lot in my lifetime. My dad was a minister, and we, in my early days, we moved a ton. And so you know, the results were good, often moved on to another place and God was good, but the process wasn't always fun. I got to admit, it wasn't always fun. But here's the deal. Moving is part of life. It's part of our natural lives, but it's also part of our spiritual life, isn't it? God is a God of movement. He's always moving, and life is a journey, and our spiritual walk with Jesus is a journey. And so we kind of have to be able to embrace movement. It has to be something that we get over, right? We're like, God, I'm ready to move. Here's what I found, though. The older I get, the easier it is for me to rely on what I know. The older I get, the easier it is for me to reach back and want to just stay with what I know. I don't, when I was younger, I was maybe more open in some ways, but I get older and I kind of like the patterns of life. I kind of like the way things are. And so I'm a little bit more reticent. Anybody else follow me on this? Yeah, it's just kind of naturally what happens. And I think one of the things that we have to fight with, whether we're young or old, is not letting that happen. We can't let ourselves kind of just get locked in and not be open to the next thing God wants to do. Did you realize that if you look back at church history, every new movement was persecuted by the previous movement? Do you realize that? I mean, the Anabaptist background is because the Anabaptists were persecuted by those ahead of, who became evangelical, and then the Anabaptists, believing in baptism, then they were persecuted by those who were Christ followers. And then it just goes down the road, right? I know there's a high Anabaptist background in your area. And so persecution by the next generation or by the previous generation of the next generation has been historically what's happened. And we can't be that way. We have to be ready for the next thing. God is a God of movement. I want to give you a picture from Numbers chapter 9. We're going to read the most redundant passage in the Bible. If there's ever a Bible trivia quiz that says to you, what is the most redundant passage in the Bible? You now know today. If you take nothing else, you're going to know that Numbers 9 has the most redundant passage. Let me show you how. Okay, let's read it together. Now, the background to this is that the children of Israel have left Egypt. God wants to get them into the promised land. And so he gives them instructions to build a tabernacle. Really, specific instructions about how to build it. And if you read through, it's amazing. You've got ram skins dyed red. You've got all these beams and silver sprockets sockets. And I mean, it's amazing, right? It's really intricate. So what he does is he has them build this tabernacle, and then they have to encamp around it by tribes. It's very intricate. So they do that, but here's the challenge for them. He is constantly moving. They don't just camp in one spot because they're constantly moving because he's going to get them to the promised land. And for them to get to the place he needs them to, he's going to have to move them. They can't just stay there. Now, we realize that they do go through this 40-year period where, because they missed the first opportunity to get in the promised land, they wander for 40 years. And that is part of the journey to get them there. But Numbers 9, look what it says here. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud set, the Israelites encamped. Whenever the cloud lifted above the tent, they set out. Wherever the cloud settled, they encamped. Can you say something with me this morning? Say, whenever and wherever. Say one more time. Whenever and wherever. That's what it says. Whenever it lifted, they moved. And wherever it went, they went. Something to remember. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out. And at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, one day. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. Are you getting the point in this passage here? At the Lord's command, just to emphasize it, here it is again. At the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. These verses, I think we could summarize in one statement. Whenever God said move, they move. Whenever he said stop and camp, they camped. Whenever and wherever, that's what they did. Now, what does this have to do with us? Well, I think this is a picture of us in our spiritual life. You notice that they had to continue to keep their eyes on the cloud. They couldn't just go about their daily life. Like, think about this for a minute. Whenever that cloud started to move, they had to start moving, even at night. So they must have had people watching all through the night, every day, and they didn't know when it was going to happen. Like, God really kept them off balance. I mean, like, I really feel for the people that were there one day when they had, it says, from evening. Can you imagine? Let's put ourselves in their scenario. We're Israelites camped in our, you know, tents and everything, and we've been in a place for a year. Okay, let's say we've been there a year and we got used to that nice location. Hey, this is great. It's been a year. Hey, wait a minute, guys. The cloud's moving. Well, it's been a year. I guess it's time to go. Let's get ready, guys. Okay, kids, start packing your stuff. The cloud's moving. All right, tabernacle. They all go in. Can you imagine? You have a team here, you know, setting up church. Can you imagine, like, the tabernacle team? Guys, ram skins, all that stuff. They're pulling it all down, right? Loading it, carrying it. I wonder where the new place is. They're kind of excited. And so the cloud leads them, and it stops here. They're like, there it is. Okay, it's right there. Okay, guys, tabernacle in the middle. We're going to be here. Judah, you're there. Levi, you're there. Whatever, right? They're all setting up. Can you imagine? Well, I wonder how long we'll be here. We'll probably be here another year. It's one day. You know, you get the kids. You just set up the beds and everything, and the kids are down. Kids, go to sleep. Isn't this? Tomorrow we'll explore. We'll see this new area. That's great. And they put them down. They go and they stand outside the tent. They're looking up at the tabernacle in the cloud, and all of a sudden the pillar of fire starts moving. They're like, what? It starts moving. They've been there a day. They just set us all up. Guys, we got to go. Ding, 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 ding. I don't know what they did. I mean, kids, get up. Kids, get up. We got to start moving. I wonder if there's a few Jewish swear words coming out. I don't know. They were too sanctified for that, but I mean, I'm a little frustrated. God, what? We just got here. He's like, yeah, no, like, we got to go. What? Why? I don't know. Just got to follow you. Yeah. I mean, can you say inconvenient with me? Inconvenient. Wow. What a stretch of faith. Yeah. But they didn't know. It could be a day. It could be 2 months. It could be a year. They don't know. He keeps them off balance. They have to keep looking at the cloud. Yeah. You know, this challenges me because I don't know about you, but I like routine. Most people like routine. I mean, just look around at a church. If you're the pastor and leader, our church in Calgary, I could tell. I could tell when people are away because they just look at their spot. Oh, yeah, they're not there today. Their seats are empty. Their seats? What do you mean their seats? Well, that's where they always sit. Come on. How many of you sit in the same spot every week? You know, if you could, you'd have a plaque on it. You know, the family, this is our seats. I know a guy, he goes to churches, and he sees that, and he purposely sits in those chairs. He knows that this is, so he just, you know, and he kind of watches them as they buzz around, like they don't know what to do. Because they're so used to routine, right? We like routine. This is my spot. This is what I do. This is how it works. I got it figured out. And God says, no, I don't want to let you do that. You got to keep depending on me. Yeah, you're older. Yeah, you figured it out. Yeah, it's the way it's been. But I like to move. The cloud moves. Wherever it moves, whenever it moves, I want you to be watching. I don't want to miss the cloud in my life. God moves, and I'm like, I'm not going. What do you think of the people that would have said, I'm not going? They would have been back on their own. The whole tribes would have moved, and they'd be like, I'm not going. And then maybe when they finally realize we're stuck on our own, and there's no blessing here, and the presence of God is gone, because that represented the presence of God in their midst. And when the presence of God was gone, what do you have? Living there with your family and there's no community and there's no presence of God. Christians do this all the time, by the way. They do. Oh, I'm really bothered about church. I don't like it. I'm pulling out. I'm on my own. I've seen this happen a lot. Their families, they're not fellowshipping anymore. They're not, because something happened. Something happened they didn't agree with or whatever, and now they pulled out in protest, and they're nowhere. Seriously. Watch it happen all the time. Well, who are you hurting? Yourself, right? Yeah. So those guys knew that. I mean, if you're going to stay, and then you're not getting to the promised land. If you're not going to follow the cloud, if you're not going to go with the rest of them, you're not going to get to the promised land. So we want the promised land. We want what God wants. So, I mean, I take this and I look at from a church standpoint, right? From a personal standpoint. You and I need to be watching the cloud in our lives. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. What are you saying, God? What's next in my life? You know, Proverbs tells us to watch daily at the doors of wisdom, right? Listening. But as a church, it's the same thing. What's next, God? You know, as we met with your leaders last night, we just have such a sense that God has so much more for you. I mean, I just shared that picture that I felt this morning, but, you know, honestly, I was in tears this morning. I sensed the presence of God. I saw your young people, and I thought, there's life here. There is something here for this area. There is something here that God is doing, and God wants to do so much more. Let me just say this. The only people that will stop what God wants to do is you. Is you. Your willingness to go wherever, whenever, is the only thing that will stop it. If you put the brakes on and say, God, we're not willing to do that. We're not willing to make that shift. It's not comfortable. I don't want to do that. Personally, I don't like that. Can I say something to you? I have a lot of personal preferences. But I found that God doesn't care. He doesn't really care about my personal preferences. I go to him, I say, I don't feel like it's convenient. He says, well, sorry, you gave your life to me. And you said I could guide you, and there is a price to pay at times. Okay, Lord, I gave my life to you. It's not about my convenience. You know, we make convenience an idol. We say, it's got to be convenient. And if it isn't, it's wrong. That's not true at all. You look at the disciples in the New Testament. Was their life convenient? I don't think so. Paul's life, was it convenient? Yikes, it's the epitome of inconvenient. Compared to his life, I have a super convenient life. You know, he's getting beaten up and shipwrecked and everything else. All I'm saying is, God has good things, but sometimes there's a price. And it's inconvenience. But here's the thing. If you and I will embrace God's inconvenience, then he will come and move in ways we could not imagine. And we'll look back and we'll say, God, it was so worth it that we made those sacrifices. So worth it that we were willing to be inconvenienced, because look what you've done. Look at the people you've reached. Let me just say this. I never want my pursuit of convenience to stop God in my life from reaching people for Jesus. Right? Wouldn't it be sad to think my personal preferences, my desire for convenience, my, you know, desire that we're not going to move, we're not going to do this because I don't feel good about it, because it just goes against my convenience. Wouldn't it be sad if that was stopping people from getting saved? That would be the biggest tragedy in my life. And I believe this church, I really believe you're a people that will do whatever, wherever, whenever. I believe you're those people. I really do. I sense it in my heart. Our natural tendency is to camp. You know, you think about the story of Peter, James, and John, Mark chapter 9. I'll just tell you the story. Jesus takes them up on the mountain of transfiguration, right? And Moses and Elijah show up. How many people in heaven want to go to the video room and watch that? I do. I want to go to the video room. I'm going to camp out here for quite a while. There's some things I want to see. I want to see the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, the law and the prophets, right? Moses and Elijah. The law and the prophets being represented there. And then Jesus is there representing the new covenant is coming. There is a new era coming. Well, Peter, James, and John, they're blown out. Like, Jesus transfigures. And it says, Peter goes, Lord, we should like make a monument to each of you. You know, let's like remember this moment. This is like the best moment. Let's just set up like shrines up here and people can come up and remember how this happened. It says Peter didn't know what he was saying. He was so scared. I would be too. I don't know about you, but I'd be freaked right out up there. And Jesus doesn't even answer him. And then all of a sudden it all ends and it's just Jesus. He goes, guys, let's go back down. He wanted to camp there. He wanted to remember what God did there. And Jesus is like, this is just like a sign of the future. Let's not camp here. We tend to be campers. We tend to pine after the former days when God moved. Ever done that? I've done it. Oh, I loved it when this happened. If it could only be like that again. God says, you know, that was great, but I am a God of progress and I have more for you. We're hesitant sometimes to embrace new experiences or take risks. You know what they say is like the death knell for a church? If you hear this statement, can I give it to you? Here it is. You don't want to hear this. If you hear this, it's dangerous. We've never done that before. That's a really bad statement. We've never done that before. Why do you not want to do this? Because we've never done that before. Can I say something to you? That is not a good enough reason. Because God is not the God of we've never done that before. God is the God of I have this now. The cloud is moving. Wherever, whenever, whatever, are you open to it? Some of you are being stirred today. And I hope you still love me. I'll be out of town, so you can't really get to me. But that's the fun of coming in, right? But I just lovingly felt really strongly that God wanted to stir you. You know, we rely on yesterday's anointing and touch from God. You know, the Bible says in Lamentations 3 that the mercies and compassions of God are new every morning. New every morning, like manna. Again, if you think about how he was training those Israelites in the wilderness, he gave them manna every day. They had to be fed every day. They couldn't stock up. They had to wait every day for God to feed them. What was he teaching them? Reliance, dependence, fluidity, things we don't like. Ephesians 5 tells us in verse 18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled, it means. So God says, every day I want you to rely on me afresh. Another sign that we've camped is we only have old testimonies of God moving in our lives. You know, when I start rehashing old testimonies and I don't have new ones, I know there's a problem. Because God doesn't want us just to live in the past. He wants to give us new testimonies every day. He wants to have new testimonies in this church every day in your lives. And he wants to give us that fresh vision. How can we prepare for a move? I'm going to give you a few points, and then I'll be done. How do we get ready for a move? Well, first of all, we need to get rid of the old junk. How many of you, when you moved, you found it was the best purging time of your life? Because, you know, you didn't want to carry all that stuff with you, the stuff that you kept for years. And so part of it was first, you just went and purged and got rid of it, and the thrift store was thankful because you gave them so much quality stuff. And you just leaned down, right? I want to encourage you, here's how to prepare for a move. Ephesians 4, getting rid of old stuff. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Look at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in God, Christ God forgave you. I think one of the ways that we prepare for a move is we get rid of negative attitudes. And if we're negative speakers, I'm going to be very, very honest here. I believe in the days ahead, change is coming to your church. And I'm not saying that in a scary way. I just believe you're growing and God's going to lead your leaders and you into new strategies to see this continue to grow. And it may be inconvenient for some of you. It may feel inconvenient. And I think at that moment, there's a temptation to start being negative. And I want to challenge you with something. Don't be negative. Don't be that person who's a grumbler, who's a complainer and a negative person who just can only see the potential negative things. I encourage you, be a person of faith. You know, Lord, this is stretching me. What we're looking to do now is stretching me. But you know what? I am going to be a supporter. I'm going to be on your side, God. I'm going to stand with the leaders. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to believe that even though this might be not what I really want to see, I believe they hear God and I'm with them. And I'm going to be a cheerleader. See, I think that's, God goes, hey, I like that attitude. And you know, if you have that attitude, I think your attitude personally will change. I think if you embrace that, you'll come around and you'll go, God, I didn't get it at first, and now I really get it. I'm so glad I wasn't a naysayer. I'm so glad I wasn't my feet stuck in soil and I wouldn't move. I'm glad that I said yes to you, even when it was challenging for me. You know, when I was a youth pastor, Val and I worked with youth for a lot of years. We love young people. Just had a good chat with some of your people today. Honestly, seeing young people just gladdens my heart. They're so full of life. And we'd have many trips with young people in vans, and we had a saying. And whenever they'd start getting a little negative and edgy with their inappropriate with some of their comments, you guys would never get that way. But when they started to get that way, we'd say, "Hey, it's almost 4:30. And why did we say that? Because Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed." In other words, get rid of unwholesome talk. Hey guys, a little bit unwholesome talk here. It's almost 4:30. I think the Holy Spirit's starting to get grieved. Whoa. And they, oh yeah, okay. Can I say something to you? Remind yourself when you get a little negative, it's almost 4:30. Holy Spirit's maybe starting to get a little grieved with my lack of faith, with my negativity. I need to start believing again. I need to start saying, okay, Lord, thank you. You have good things in store. I'm going to believe it. Deal with your doubts. Deal with your unbelief. Proverbs 18 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You and I have a lot of power with what we say. We can influence a lot of people. Can I say this lovingly? In the days ahead, when God leads your church into new strategies and new ways, watch your tongue. Speak life over it. Proclaim, God, thank you that you are leading us, and we bless our leaders, and we believe, God, that you're going to guide us into a great future. The second thing you do is you prepare for the new thing. 1 Peter 1 says, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. You know, change pushes us at times. We see fears come up. Old things from our life come up. Can I encourage you with something? Prepare your minds for action. Take captive those thoughts. Take captive your biases because of your past. Like I told you, like we moved a lot when I was a kid. And some of that, and some of the things that happened when I was a kid affected me. It made me somebody who really actually struggles with change at times. I'll be honest. I'm very protective of things because my life was so shifting so quickly at times that I see that. But I've had to allow God to speak truth to me in those areas. I've had to go to him and say, God, I need you to heal me in some of these insecure areas of my life where I struggle with change, where I struggle because, God, I'm called to change. I'm called to be a catalyst for change. I need to be somebody who's in the future, not stuck in the past. God doesn't want us just holding on to the past. And so I've had to go to God, and can I say something? If you feel like there's a mindset in you that resists some of that change, then say, God, why? God, deal with me. Help me with my attitude. Help me with my heart. Because I want to be a cheerleader. I want to be in. I don't want to be stuck in my life. The other thing is we need to forget the past and focus on the future. Isaiah 43 says, And this is really powerful. This is what the Lord says in verse 16. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Like this passage is talking about when God wiped out all the Egyptians in the Red Sea. Like, isn't that a powerful time? Like he killed them all. He says, this is the past. And then he says this in verse 18, forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. He's not even talking about bad stuff. He's talking about God did all this great stuff, and he's saying, don't stay there. Don't just camp there, because there's better stuff coming. So Israelites, Jews, focus on the future. Yes, remember the past, because in verse 19 he says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If I could say this for this church, God is doing a new thing, and he's building on what's already here, but there is a new season coming. I sense it. I know your leaders sense it. God is going to prepare you for more. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be glorious, but there are going to be some growing pains. That's what happens when you grow. You have to push through that. But God will be with you in it. Philippians 3 tells us this. Paul lists all the things that God's calling him to do in Philippians 3. He talks about what the Lord wants to do. And he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Say this with me. One thing I do. If Paul said there was one thing he did, I think we should probably take note. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me in Christ Jesus. Paul said, now we often think about Paul as just having negative things to remember. I mean, he did kill Christians, which is pretty horrendous, right? He was involved in killing the early believers. So he had to forget that. I mean, I'm sure the enemy came to him at times, and maybe some of you here have some skeletons in your closet that God's forgiven you, but the enemy tries to come back and say, hey, remember, you used to be like this. And God says, hey, forget that. I've dealt with it. You can't live there. But Paul also had some really great things that he had. He was a Jew of Jews, as it were. He was one of the best Pharisees. He had a lot of learning and understanding. I mean, he was a man of stature. He had a lot of great things as well. God said, forget all that and strain to the future, right? Like, don't just say, well, I've reached this. I'm so happy. Wow, praise God. Look what I've... No. That's great, but I'm straining to the future. Can I say something? This church needs to strain into the future. Reach out for the future. God has something more for all of you. I want to finish by sharing a dream that I had. I don't often have this happen. I knew I was going to preach this year. And so Friday night, conference was done. Had my first kind of good night's sleep for a while. I kind of keyed up during conference. There's so much going on. And had this dream, and here was the dream. In the dream, I was camping. And I remember that we just set up this beautiful tent, and I'd set up the beds and everything. And you know, it was a beautiful area, I remember, we were camped in. And there was a guy with me. He's a guy that used to be part of our church in Calgary. His name is Richie. And he was with me. Now, see, I haven't thought of Richie in a long time. But God put him in the dream for a reason. So Richie was there, and it was all set up. And I had this feeling like, yes, we finally got this all set up. This is great. Now I'm going to enjoy this time. It's a beautiful area. And then I got a call. I remember I got a call on the phone. And the organizer, whoever it was of this camping expedition, said, hey, we're gonna move to Radium. Like, Radium's in BC, right? And I don't know why Radium was there, but it was like, we're going to pick up camp now. We're going to go to Radium. And I just set everything up. So in my dream, I literally felt the emotions you would feel. I started grumbling immediately. I went, what? We just got here. We just landed, you know, in this place. We just set it all up, and now we're moving to Radium. And this guy, Richie, with me, he got really negative right away. Like, he was getting all angry. And here's the thing. This guy, Richie, loved him to bits when he was in our church. Really did. But he was unmoving. He wasn't open to change. The reason he left our church is because we made change and he didn't like it and he left. So he kind of represents something, right? He was really upset. He was not happy that we were moving and having to set up camp again. And so I stopped and checked myself. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Like, in the dream, I actually had a good role because I stopped. I did an Ephesians 4:29, 4:30, and I said, hey, hold on, Richie. Like, you know what? Let's do this. It'll be okay. Let's do this. Like, I tried to talk him down. Like, come on. This is okay. It's a nice area. We can do this. It'll be fine. And then I woke up. And I lay there for a few minutes after I woke up, not really realizing. And then I realized, oh my goodness, that is what I'm preaching about. That is like a real life dream that's connected to this picture. And I realized at that moment, the Lord said, yes, I'm emphasizing it to you because that is what the church in Arbor needs to hear. This is a picture for them. This is a picture for them. And let me just say something. You don't want to be Richie. I hope he never watches this. Richie, if you're watching this, I do love you. Anyway, no, but you don't want to be him. Don't be him. Don't be him. When change happens, when things are announced, where there's like, we're going to do this, don't be Richie. Don't make that a slogan. That'd be a bad slogan, but... But don't be him. Don't be the naysayer. Don't be the immediate, oh, I don't think so. Pull back and say, hold on a minute. Let me go to prayer. Let me seek God. Let me get my heart right. Because I really believe that if you'll do that, the Holy Spirit is going to do much in this church. I believe the sky's the limit. I think if you could see what he had planned, Val alluded to the whole aspect of what happened in the 70s, the move of God. Folks, I firmly believe God is ready in this country to do something fresh. I think we're all groaning wanting more. All creation, as it were, all of the nation. We see what's going on in our nation. We see the godlessness. We see decisions that are being made. And the only thing that's going to change it, folks, is a move of the Spirit that's going to touch the hearts of people, and they're going to come in. And I believe God wants to use this church catalytically in that way. I believe that picture I saw of the flame over this church sparking other smaller flames in your region, I think that's really from the Holy Spirit. And I think the only limit on that will be you. The only limit. God wants to come. I sense His pleasure in you as a people. When I sat here, I thought, these are humble people. These are humble, dependent leaders. These are unpretentious people. Can I just say that? I just felt like these are not glitzy people. They're not trying to put on a show. They just love the Lord. They're just foundational, caring, loving people. And God says, I can use people like that. I can do more. If they will let me, if they will be open, if they will say yes, wherever, whatever, whenever, I'll do it. Could you stand with me, please? I want to pray for you.